And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we thank you that we have a record of your resurrection. We're grateful for that, Lord. We're grateful for what you did. And without that resurrection, Lord, we're just hopeless beings here. And you gave us hope, and we're grateful for that, Lord. And we pray for those that maybe haven't heard of the resurrection of you, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that that when they hear it, they would believe it and believe the gospel, Lord. And we now come to you, and we ask for a humble heart, and we ask for some wisdom from your words to better walk with you and throughout our days here on this earth. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. I think we left off in verse 16, but we're going to give a little short review. We do every week of what we did the previous week. For those that may not have been here, last week we saw how Jesus went from speaking to the multitude and to the disciples to singling out those religious leaders that were in the multitude. But before Jesus switched and singled out not an individual, but a specific group of individuals. Okay, he didn't just single out one guy. He singled out two groups, religious groups or sects, if you want to call it S-E-C-T-S, sects. Sects, yeah. We saw that Jesus, he didn't want men lifting up the religious leaders among them with high titles of master and rabbi and father, and explained to the people that the great one that was their master, even rabbi, right, was Christ, and that their father God is in heaven. Okay, and he's speaking to the multitude and letting them know this, giving them a refresher here, and that if they needed something to distinguish the greatest among them, it was going to be the one who was serving them, right? It was going to be the one who was serving them. And we know that the one that was serving those the people, the Jews, was Jesus Christ. He was the one serving. He was the one healing. He was the one setting free of those who were possessed with devils. He was the one going into the temple teaching the right things. And it made the religious leaders angry. And we also saw that the greatest servant of all was not exalted by men. He was not exalted by men at all. But he was indeed highly exalted of God. Okay? And we need to get that. We need to get that. Because when you're serving God here on this earth, Jesus, if you look at what Jesus' life was, men didn't exalt him. And if men are exalting you, I'd be asking the question, what am I doing that men are exalting me? But if men are exalting you here, you're not to expect any recognition from men. But you should know this surely, that God highly exalted Jesus Christ for serving God. And it may, you might not get that exaltation here on this earth while you're alive, but if you were to die and you go to heaven, God's going to highly exalt you for what you do here for him. And that's maybe not highly above Jesus, but he's going to exalt you. You'll get the exaltation in his time. And those that keep this in mind while they're serving the Lord, they're going to be the ones that continue to serve the Lord year after year. But those people who have men's recognition on their minds, on their sight, they'll most likely quit serving the Lord after a few years that they don't get the recognition they think they deserve. Okay? And that's just, when you're looking for men to praise you and you don't get the praise, what do? You quit doing what you were doing. And so, But when Jesus, he switches to this religious sects here, we saw that Jesus, he rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees. First of all, for taking away the key of knowledge. They took away the key of knowledge. Not only from themselves, but they took it away from the people that they were supposed to be teaching. Okay? And they did this, we saw, they did this by corrupting the Word of God. Paul says, you know, we are not as many as corrupt the Word of God. Again, Jesus, he rebukes the leaders for using their position. Right? He rebukes them for taking away the key of knowledge, for preventing people to get into the kingdom of heaven and themselves. And then he rebukes the leaders for using their position, their religious position, to steal from widows, from the vulnerable, from those that are, you know, they've lost their husbands and all they have is the church left. And so they use their positions and manipulate things to steal from them. Jesus, he let them know what was in store for them for doing this, for using their position and praying for a pretense to get something that wasn't really theirs. He let them know that there's greater damnation, which he taught degrees of hell. There's different levels there. There's different degrees. There's going to be people that in the hottest hell. There's going to be people in the lowest hell. Okay? And Jesus said, this is what's in store for you, for those who use a religious position to steal from widows. And we ended seeing that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were a child of hell, and they were making their converts who were already a child of hell twofold more a child of hell than themselves. And by getting the converts to think that they were saved when they were actually lost. They were lost before they converted, and they were lost after they were converted. And that is what every call apart from true Christianity does to an unsaved man. Okay? You look. We send missionaries. This church sends missionaries. So does the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so do the Catholics. And so do the Mormons. And so do the Mohammeds, okay? They all got their little church buildings all over the world, going across land and sea, trying to get the convert, okay? And this is what's happening, and they get them to think that they get saved because they keep the sacraments, or because they got baptized, or because they were predestined to be saved. Were predestinated to be saved. And they try winning those that think they are already saved. When you try to do that, when true Christianity goes out and tries to win somebody that thinks they already got saved, you see how hard it is to get somebody to believe in Christ. You know? And that's why we need God to intervene with these people. 2 Timothy 2:24. And we all probably know this one by heart, but I'm going to look it up. Second Timothy 2:24. The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." These are people who are twofold child of hell. And it's hard. It's harder to win somebody that thinks he's been saved. He's twofold a child of hell. He's been made that way by proselytization of these different cults, and it's harder to win these people because not only do you have to persuade them that they're lost and they're on their way to hell, But you have to talk them out of their religion that they think they got taught, that they think they got saved by. There's two things you got to do there. You got to show them, hey, this religion that you're saved by is wrong. It's not what the Bible says. And they're thinking they're already good. Hey, I've been baptized. I keep the sacraments. I go to church. So you got to talk him out of his religion that he thought saved him, and then you got to talk him, show him that he's a sinner on the way to hell, and he's lost. Verse 16. Jesus is saying, "Woe!" Right. First, he's speaking to the multitude. Now he's singling these groups out, and he's, "Woe!" Verse 16. "Woe unto you, ye blind guides," would say, "whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." These spiritual leaders, they had no sight into the spiritual things of God. For instance, the temple. They didn't care if you swore by the temple. But if you swore by the gold of the temple, boy, you're a sinner. You're a sinner if you didn't keep what you said. That's what they were teaching the people. And this debtor business is like what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:12. He talks about it. And he teaches his disciples how to pray. Verse 11. We'll start in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Okay? They're promising things to God, and they're not keeping them. Those are debts. Those are debts. When you promise something to God and you don't keep what you promise, it's sin. We're going to see that here in a little bit. We'll look up some scriptures on that. And the only one that can relieve you of this sin debt is Jesus Christ. And that's in any age, folks. Really, it is. Think about it. Old Testament saints, they didn't get their sins paid until Jesus died on the cross, right? It wasn't completely paid till Jesus died on the cross. It might have been covered, but it wasn't paid for. And the death of Jesus pays for past sins. All the way back in the Old Testament, folks. All the way back to Adam. The death of Jesus pays for future sins. Those are the sins that are going on today. Present sins. Those are the sins that are going on today. And the death of Jesus Christ pays for the sins that are going to go on in the tribulation and in the millennium. Past, present, future, folks. Death of Jesus Christ is the only way sins get paid for. I don't care what age you're in. These guys, these religious leaders are interested in the wrong things. Why? Because they can't see. They're interested in their own righteousness. They're not interested in God's righteousness. Well, we've seen the verses, folks. They want to establish their own righteousness. And they sought it not by faith. And Jesus is going to mention that here. But they didn't seek it by faith. They're interested in their own righteousness, not God's righteousness. And they tell the people, keep the law. And they don't keep it. And they tell the people, we've got more laws for you that God didn't write down. Maybe he spoke to this guy over here in a dream. We've got more laws. And they didn't keep them either. And they make up more laws to go to heaven, and they don't go to heaven. And they keep people from going to heaven. Why? Because they were seeking after their own righteousness and not God's. And God's righteousness is where you're going to get to heaven from, not your own. And that's through Jesus Christ. And so So they made up more laws to go to heaven, and they kept men out of heaven by corrupting the corruption of God's words. And what they did was they added and subtracted. They added and subtracted. They said, "You don't have to. You can swear by the temple, but you can't swear by the gold, right?" And Jesus is going to make that. He's going to rebuke them for this harshly. And then he's going to show them, hey, and we'll see this. He's going to show them this is the right way to think. But we'll see that here in a little bit. But they corrupted the words of God. They subtracted, they added. Why? Because they're more interested in looking spiritual than being spiritual. That's what they did. They wore scripture on their heads and on their hands. They put the blue bands on them so everybody would see them and pay homage to them when they walked in the streets and give them the best of everything that they had. And so now they're more interested in the gold in the temple than the God of the gold in the temple. And it's always material things with these guys. It's always material. Nothing spiritual. That's why Jesus keeps telling them they're blind. They're blind. Were they physically blind? No, but they were spiritually blind. They could see enough to put the blue band on their make sure that it was big enough so everybody could see it. And they could see enough to put the scripture on their forehead, but they couldn't see far enough to see, hey, who is the God of the temple? Right? They didn't care about the God, they care about the money. Matthew 23:17, he says, "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" And so the answer to this is the temple. Why? Because that is what God established in the Old Testament. It was a picture of what was to come for the Jews' redemption. The gold represented deity in the temple, but the temple was to be the center, not the gold. And verse 18, "And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty." And so the answer to this is, it's the temple. The temple. The temple's greater. What about the altar? The altar was where the sacrifice was made to cover their sins, which was a forepicture of what was to come for their sins to be blotted out. When Jesus gave his life, it was a forepicture of that. And that was a picture that, hey, when this happens, when Jesus comes down and lays his life down on the altar, your sins will be blotted out. The sacrifice wasn't made holy until after it was placed on the altar and offered to God. But the scribes and the Pharisees didn't care about that. All they cared about was the dinner that they were going to receive. And they didn't want you swearing by what they were eating. They got to eat that. The priest, look in Leviticus 6. Leviticus, Genesis 6 is Leviticus. Leviticus 6, 24. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the law of the sin offering." See, it was a sin offering. "In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth for sin shall eat it in the holy place. Shall it be eaten if the court of the tabernacle of the, or in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation? Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place." And so you see, they don't want you swearing by their dinner. They don't want any sin attached to what they're eating. the sacrifice was holy. They're more interested in money, gold. They're more interested in food, the sacrifice. Their God is their belly, folks. And Paul talks about that in Romans 16. Romans 16. Philippians. Let's see, 16, 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Again, in Philippians, you see Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 19. This is their end. This is what they have in store for them, folks. God chose you. Those that are made their God their belly. 3:19, the Bible says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What did these guys care about? The earthly things. What did they care about? Their belly. They didn't want sin going into their belly, so they didn't want you swearing by the sacrifice. They didn't want anything that had to do with sin because you didn't pay your debt going into their belly. And that's these bunch of religious leaders. And we saw what's in store for them is destruction. Because they're more interested in what they ate than what the altar did to redeem souls of men. Okay? Their priorities are perverted. The church and religion is greater than God, verse 15. Matthew 23:15. Their church and religion is greater than God. They're more interested in making a proselyte than praising God and bringing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walking here on earth. They're more interested in making a proselyte. They bring people to their traditions, and they bring people to works when they should have been bringing people to God and His righteousness, which is Christ. They knew about Christ. They knew what He was supposed to do. They admitted. Their gold is greater than the temple. Their gifts are greater than the altar. That's perversion. They perverted their priorities in life. And in all the so-called religions that are on the earth today, you know that they're messed up by their priorities. By their priorities. The priorities of the religions are all messed up. Jesus gives the priorities. Once you get the priorities right, the Lord Jesus Christ, then He can fix the rest of the messed up stuff in your life. The messed up priorities. Amen. Verse 19. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by Him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by Him that sitteth thereon. Now, what these Pharisees and scribes were doing was they were giving people a spiritual out to not fulfill an oath when they were making it. And so they would tell them that you can break the oath if it was by the temple, which looks like a valid oath, folks. It does. When you swear by the temple. They can break that oath. They can break an oath, but if you made an oath of the gold of the temple, you were a sinner if you didn't perform it. You were a debtor. You had to pay that, or you sinned against God. This is what they were saying. And they didn't want any sin attached to the gold. because that's what they cared about. They didn't want any sin attached to their sacrifice, because that's what they cared about. They were eating the sacrifice. Same thing with the altar, and same thing with heaven. They were telling the people, you can swear by the altar, you can swear by heaven, but as soon as you swear by God in heaven, you have to keep it. And as soon as you swear by the sacrifice, it's holy, you have to keep it. And as soon as you swear by the gold, you have to keep it, or it's sin. That's what they were telling the people. They gave them an out. You don't have to keep it. It's not sin. You didn't swear by God. All right? You're not sinning against God when you do this. And so, the way God looks at it is everything is His. That's the way God looks at it. And Jesus says, this is what He's saying, everything's God's. And if everything is His, then you swear unto Him when you swear by something of His. That's what Jesus is saying. And you have to pay it to God. You have to pay your oath to God, or you're sinning. That's what Jesus is saying here. Look in Deuteronomy 23. Everything's God's. He made everything. There would be nothing here without God. And these guys want to say, oh, it's okay to do this. Right? 23 verse 2. Deuteronomy 23? No, I can't. That's not it. I messed that one up. Is it 22? Look in Matthew 5. Matthew 5:33. I messed that one up, but there's something in there about the oaths. They have to pay it. I wrote the wrong one down. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven. That's what they were doing. For it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But God can, because He's created you. He made you. You're His. And so that's why Jesus calls them blind and fools, because they were spiritual infants making proselytes. And they were spiritual infants teaching the people their statutes. And they didn't even know the simple things that everybody should know. Everything is God's, and nothing is yours. And their job was to take care of the things that God allowed them to take care of. And they couldn't even do the simple things. And the people, folks, they're just as much fault as the religious leaders. Because they're allowing these religious leaders to talk them in to swearing by the things of God. Thinking that they could get away with not performing the oaths. And God says, everything's mine. You have to pay it or it's sin. You're not righteous. You're not righteous. Matthew 23. Verse 23. One of you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And so here, Jesus is rebuking the leaders, not for tithing, because they were supposed to tithe. They were supposed to tithe these things. It's found in Leviticus 27. And they were to bring these tithes to the storehouse. Malachi 3, verse 10. They're to bring it to the storehouse every 3 years. And you see that again in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14. They're being rebuked for the sins of omission here, folks. Not for what they were doing. The sins of omission. They're being rebuked because they were not preaching repentance. Look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. They weren't preaching repentance. John the Baptist came on the scene. He was preaching repentance. And what did the religious leaders do? They didn't repent. And they weren't teaching repentance. Judgment. They weren't teaching judgment. Hey, God's judgment is coming. You need to repent. They're being rebuked here for not proclaiming God's mercy. First of all, they weren't proclaiming His judgment. Judgment's coming. You better repent. Secondly, they weren't proclaiming God's mercy. Jeremiah 25, a couple of pages over, 25. His prophets, His true prophets, were teaching this and preaching it, but not the religious leaders. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. We're almost done here. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And the Lord had sent unto you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear them. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, and to your fathers, forever and ever. And go not after other gods, to serve them, and to worship them, and to provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. There's the mercy of God. Turn, and I'll have mercy, and I won't hurt you. They were rebuked for not believing God and His words. Faith, the weightier matters of the law. And they were going after other gods, and they're more interested in their own words than God's words. And you would think they would have repented here after Jesus showed them that they weren't keeping the whole law. And that's the trait of, that a self-righteous person carries around with them, folks. When they tell you, when you tell them, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, they say, I never killed anybody. That's this bunch. When you ask them if they've ever trusted Jesus as their Savior, and they say, I've been baptized. That's this bunch. Self-righteousness. And that's what the leaders' problems was. And that's why when John the Baptist came preaching repentance, they never repented. Why? Because they're self-righteous. And here again you see that the priorities are wrong. You know there's a lot of Baptist churches out there with the priorities wrong? Their priorities are all messed up. They pressure the congregations with tithes. They pressure the congregations with soul winnings. Instead of repent, get right with Jesus and spend time with Him. Right? And develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with Him first. And if there's any time left, family. First is you and Jesus. Second is family. God ordained the family before He ever ordained the church. And if there's any time left after you've spent time with your family and got them in the Word and got them, win your family, the lost, I'm going to tell you, the family is more important than the lost in God's eyes. Win your family first. If there's any time left, then the church. Then win the lost. But it's not win the lost at any cost and then your family goes and it's all gone. Okay? Church is third. You and Jesus is first. Family is second. Then comes the church. And that's the priorities. And Baptist Church got the priorities all messed up, folks. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that we would see the priorities that you have set forth for our lives. Jesus Christ first, then the family, then the church. If there's any time left, then the lost, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to see the priorities you've set forth in your words, and help us to come to you and fellowship with you and love you first. And that's most important. And we pray that we would do that. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.